8:37 at WGCL. Glass in the morning. Thank you for being with us. Thursday, August 17th. Welcome to town, freshmen and freshman family and everybody else coming back. There's Keith Klein. He's the welcome wagon.
I'm the newbie.
You're the complete opposite of that. I'm not sure what that is, but it is not new. That has nothing to do with it. On Thursday mornings, just after 8:35, we check in with the city of Bloomington and the deputy mayor's office is our good friend Mick Renheisen. Mick, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Glass. Good morning, guys.
How did your prediction for the PGA Championship do?
Well, not well.
That's okay. You had the winner at the British. You can't win every week.
I did, and I'll take that. But, yeah, that was great to see Justin Thomas win, especially with his family's history with the PGA. And tough course, and he did all the right things at the end to win it.
He did. He avoided disaster, hit a 7-iron 221 yards to 14 feet and made the putt. That was pretty cool. And
yep,
he is another 24-year-old as a major champion. Those guys all run around together. Maybe we should start hanging out in Baker's Bay in the Bahamas or wherever they're at with those guys. They seem to rub off on that whole group there. But Mick is not here to talk golf. That's our next show that we always talk about. We're going to do down the road, Keith.
Well, he may be able to talk about whether the general fund can buy a lottery ticket for that $510 million.
Well, the general fund's going to be buying some other stuff as the Johnson Creamery building and all of that has made news this week. The questions everybody has, number one, why is the city into the buying property retail business? Number two, what are you going to do with the building that needs some work? And number three, I'll let you have the floor to answer those questions.
Fair enough. So Johnson Creamery is a historic structure. It's very close to City Hall. In fact, you could say the parking lots between us are essentially adjoining our space to their space, and one's on one side of the railroad track, we're now the B line, and the other's on the other side. So these are obviously structures that were built a long time ago and are historically significant to our community. City Hall is 22 years old, and as cities grow, we have been kind of busting at the seams of our existing space, and when Johnson Creamery became available, we thought, well, let's think about it, because now would be as good a time as any to acquire a site that we might need for future expansion of City Hall offices. If we were to acquire it, we're in the due diligence steps, nothing would change for the tenants and structure today, that those leases would continue to be honored, and we would be looking at a longer-term need for maybe some office space for City Hall. So that's one reason. The other is it's right in the middle of the Trades District, and as the community is aware, we're investing on the north side of City Hall in the Trades District to put in new infrastructure and get some job growth in that part of the Trades District, and securing yet another asset inside the district that might allow some graduation from the Dimension Mill of startup businesses into spaces that are currently unoccupied in Johnson Creamery as the next iteration of where those businesses could graduate and grow. Kind of made sense to us. So we saw several potential opportunities, and that's why we expressed interest, and that's what we're looking into. Not trying to be a landlord, just trying to think about the long-term benefit of having another asset right next to City Hall.
Mick, one of the questions that came up in all of this was, can the city pay more for the property than it's valued at?
The Redevelopment Commission is the acquiring entity, so this is not a general fund expense, but rather out of the Tax Increment Finance District. And that's what the Redevelopment Commission is responsible for. So they can, by law, negotiate above the average of two appraisals. Typically, that is the standard for acquiring property is pay no more than the average of two appraisals.
And that was one of the issues, was the appraisal was lower than the offer.
Considerably.
And that can happen. We've experienced that. And you know, the good thing about the Redevelopment Commission is that's their task, is to redevelop areas. So they have a little bit more flexibility than your typical municipal government land acquisition process would allow.
Now, the other part is the showers itself. You mentioned that you're at capacity there. At one time, you had IU there. At one time, they talked about county offices there. Are you at full capacity, all city stuff and showers?
Is the city responsible for all that as well? Or is part of that
county?
No,
we're responsible for a third. The county is now in the old IU space on the north side of the building. There are still a few IU offices there, but for the most part, it's county offices. And on the west side, it's been private sector operated by CFC for years now. Can't speak to their two capacity areas. I believe they're both full, or if not, they remain fairly close to full. The city's been full. I can remember on my end of the building when I was in Parks, we turned our storage room into office space 15 years ago. So 5 years after we moved in, we were already expanding into areas that weren't intended to be expanded into. And my experience now on the mayor's end of the hall is every office is jammed with cubicles, and places that were storage are now converted into office space. And so it, you know, it's not today would we have to have people move over to Johnson Creamery, but it's not that far off.
I noticed you mentioned.
If we acquire it.
I noticed you mentioned the word historic Johnson Creamery or something to that avail. What kind of shape is that building? When you say historic, that always makes everybody a little itchy. On what about the upkeep? What about everything that goes along with old and traditional and historic things?
Well, I think the city has a lot of experience with that. I know in my parks days, Banneker Community Center, now over 100 years old, is that type of a structure. So clearly, City Hall is the same thing, and so we're familiar with the challenges that go along with preserving a historic structure. And probably, quite honestly, a municipal entity ought to be the ones that, when they can, when it makes sense, we're going to be in it for the long haul, right? The city's going to be in the City Hall building for decades in the future, and we're likely to be the ones to better take care of those kind of things in the long haul, because it's where our offices, our home will be, if you will. So we're investigating the current condition of the Johnson Creamery building. We're looking at all the nooks and crannies, including the smokestack and all things related to the property. That's part of the due diligence steps that we're currently undertaking.
Mick, sometimes the word historic means the outside, the walls and the exterior. What does historic also include? What you could do to the interior of the building?
Generally, Keith, you're right. It's mostly the exterior facade, the materials that it was built with, the windows.
Yeah, if you want to put in a new kitchen, Keith, you can put in a new kitchen. That's
well,
right.
That's what I'm wondering. Is are you prohibited for doing some of that stuff?
No, I believe it's mostly the exterior. Okay. I'm not an expert on the matter, but I know that City Hall was renovated on the interior, and I don't think we had. But we did preserve many of the beams, the existing beams, mm-hmm. that actually, I think, nicely complement and accent the space and give it its sense of what it once was. And that's the same case on the other parts of the building, the showers building, that the other two entities, they've done the same thing. They've preserved some of those things on the inside. I'm not sure they had to. And I'm not sure that, you know, Johnson Creamery's been renovated a long time ago. So what's been changed inside already would have had to gone through Historic Preservation Commission review if that even impacted any of the inside. Mostly, I believe, it's exterior.
Before we leave that, what would the Trades District do in that building? I mean, you're talking about expansion for the city, but what would the trades be as part of that?
Well, we're anticipating when the Dimension Mill opens next year to have those startup companies that, you know, they like open space and collisions between entrepreneurial young types that want to create some new product or app or new idea of some kind. And as they mature, they need space of their own. So it's possible, and I've seen just a few of the layouts of the Johnson Creamery where I know there's a lot of these little spaces, 100 square feet, 200 square feet. Those are pretty small offices. 10 by 10, 10 by 20, mm-hmm. and those would be perfect for a graduate to go from that startup environment in the Dimension Mill right. to maybe one of those little office spaces in Johnson Creamery. Or, as I mentioned, down the road, it could be some City Hall offices as we grow as an entity over time that could also move over there. And then I think, too, about the existing tenant like the Chamber. We work with the Chamber all the time. I mm-hmm. think actually having up close proximity, although all we have to do now is walk across the street or across the parking lot, but actually having some city staff that work with the Chamber on a regular basis in the same building wouldn't be a terrible idea either in terms of economic development. So those are just thoughts at the moment that made us think sincerely about acquiring the facility.
Now, one of the other things they talked about was $850,000 for a Morton Street property. Where is that and what is it?
It's one of the areas within the boundaries of the Trades District, east of the Dimension Mill and west of Morton Street. So there's several, one of them just a surface parking lot, and then there's another structure that sits just north of the admin building on Morton Street. And it's an area where, again, just trying to capture the border of the Trades District so we can control its development in the future.
Okay.
Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning, Deputy Mayor of the City of Bloomington. How's budget stuff going? Busy week this week.
It has been. Three out of four nights under our belt now and down to tonight. And this is the final night where we have our Planning and Transportation Department present its budget, and then the seven divisions of Public Works will present their budget, and then we wait for council questions, like we will have in the past received somewhere between 100 and 200 questions we anticipate from the council. We'll answer those in writing. It becomes a matter of the public record, and then we go back in late September and early October for final passage of the budget.
And once we get through this week, everything's, I don't want to say set in stone, but we're pretty close to being done, right? This is it.
Well, we know we're getting a lot of great feedback from the council. There's been a couple of nights where, you know, we had a little bit of public attendance, which is great to see. Quite honestly, it's surprising to me that given the nature of our hearings in our community, that we just see a very small number of people come out and talk about how their tax dollars are going to be spent. And maybe that means, as our survey suggested, they have a lot of faith in municipal government leaders, and they feel like we're going to do the right things. And our council is obviously a check and balance to make sure we're spending dollars wisely. So, I think I wouldn't say it's a done deal after tonight. We certainly will take council comments in consideration, and if there's any negotiation between now and the time we go back to council, that this is what the next month and a half would be about.
Gotcha. The fine tuning, making sure everything fits where it needs to fit.
Exactly.
Trivia us.
All right. So this week is Junk in the Trunk, a community rummage sale.
Oh, baby.
Saturday from 8 until 1 p.m., 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Frank Southern Ice Arena.
The Frank Southern Ice Arena. Gotcha.
Yep. Yeah, before we start turning on the ice, which won't be that long from now, before they start getting the floor cold and frozen for hockey and figure skating and public skating. So the venue's being used for this event this weekend. Dozens of vendors will be set up offering furniture, books, toys, household goods, and many other items that one person's trash is another person's treasure, as they say. So under the Junk in the Trunk guidelines, what items will not be available? Is it A, firearms, B, weapons, C, food and drink, D, all of the above?
All of the above. Firearms and weapons, to me, are the same.
Most of my grades in college were D, so yeah. Let's go with D.
D is right. You can't sell food and drink as a part of your rummage sale, but certainly not firearms and weapons are not allowed either. So
don't be selling
none of those
food.
Items will be sold at Junk in the Trunk. Second question. It used to be held, this event, in the parking lot of the Frank Southern Center, or as an addition to the Saturday's Farmers Market, or during Parents Weekend at IU, or the first Saturday after Thanksgiving.
I'm going to say in the parking lot of Southern Center.
Yeah, that sounds too obvious. I'm going with, you can't do it at the farmer's market. There's no room. Yeah, Southern Center.
That is right. That's where it used to be held. That's where it's being returned to again. So the ice arena being used for Junk in the Trunk again this weekend, Saturday from 8 to 1. And the final question, one booth will display a life-size cardboard cutout of which iconic celebrity?
Man.
Is it A, Marilyn Monroe, B, James Dean, C, Elvis, or D, Princess Diana?
When in doubt, Keith, you always go with what letter of the alphabet?
I'm going to go with Elvis because he died yesterday.
And it's letter C.
Yeah.
That covers all the bases.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Elvis. In homage to Elvis, says once again the birth date, or the death date, I should say, of Elvis in 1977, which Keith was right, was yesterday.
It was.
There will be a life-size cardboard cutout at one of the booths. And
could you imagine if Elvis grew up in an apartment, how they'd get all those people in and out of that Graceland apartment every day? Gee whiz.
No doubt.
Thankfully, he had a mansion there that he took care of and all that. Mick, have a great weekend. Let's hope the forecast holds up for the Junk and the Train. That's an indoor event, right?
It has to be. And by the way, Hoosier to Hoosiers this weekend, too, another rummage sale where a lot of the things that the students left behind last spring, now that they're coming back, will be on sale, cleaned up, packaged up, already at the warehouse on 1525 South Rogers from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. So if you're one of those kind of folks that wants to shop for good deals, you got two choices this weekend.
You sure do. You can take the junk out of your trunk and put more junk in your trunk. Can't lose there. Fairways and greens, buddy. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Have a good one, Mick.
Thanks, guys.
Mick Renheising, the deputy mayor of the city, clearing up some stuff. The Redevelopment Commission has extra tools to navigate.
It doesn't have to be the low bid.
It doesn't have to be the low bid, and I think that's Mick always does a good job of clearing it up. Whether you agree with Mick or not is not up to me. That's up to you.